Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to ICO 101, a Crypto 101 podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Paul.
The best piece of advice I have for someone trying to succeed in the film industry or any creative space is if you're doing what everyone else is doing, you're doing it wrong.
At ICO 101, we look at initial coin offerings, security token offerings, utility token offerings, and general crowd sale offerings from an average consumer's perspective. We preview pre- and post-sale offerings while engaging with the leaders of those companies in order to help you make an informed decision on how you want to participate in these tokens, securities, or initial coin offerings. ICO 101 Podcast is on the Crypto 101 Podcast feed, so please find Crypto 101 Podcast on iTunes, SoundCloud, and CastBox. Leave a positive rating and subscribe to it. It helps us stay in the top charts. Visit our website at ICO101podcast.com. I'm very active on Twitter, so please follow me there at @SupAaronPaul. While you're there, follow the show at ICO101podcast. Send me all the private messages you want. I love getting them, and I try to respond as fast as I can. And just as a reminder, folks, I'm not a professional investment institution, bank, lawyer, or accountant. I'm not offering any legal, accounting, or financial advice, so please make sure you listen, take notes, research, and make your own informed decision regarding STOs, ICOs, ITOs, and general crowd sales. Hi, everybody. Today, I have for you an ICO 101 preview. This is an ICO 101 preview first for us, though, folks, as this is a sponsored preview. I want you to know, however, while it is sponsored, I feel like I gave it my best objective review, no different than any unpaid preview before. After the show, I would really appreciate your feedback on it. Hit me up on Twitter, at @SupAaronPaul or ICO 101 Podcast. Now, on with the preview. Formosa Financial. Formosa Financial is a financial services company for blockchain innovators. Before I get into what that means, I want to talk about the team. Normally, I talk about the team last, but for these guys, I happen to start here. Their experience caught my eye, and actually, by looking at the team first, I was better able to understand what these guys are up to. Let's start with George Xie, the co-founder and chairman of Formosa. According to his bio on the website, at the age of 24, George created the acclaimed E-Trade platform during his time as the founder and CEO of KCET, generating a 100-fold increase in revenue in merely 18 months. In addition to his role as an E-Trade pioneer in Taiwan, he also served as the head of public affairs committee at Taiwan Securities Association. After completing his management studies at MIT Sloan School of Management, Mr. Xie has served as the executive director at the Keelung-based bank KSCC since 2011, responsible for business development and corporate image management. The bank has 15 businesses across Taipei and Keelung and has made great contribution for the provision of regional financial services and stabilizing regional financial order. Up next is Ryan Tarablini. Ryan is the co-founder and CEO. Ryan has worked on numerous projects at the intersection of technology, policy, and operations. He spent 4 years at Google developing the Android hardware and software ecosystems by managing direct-to-customer device support, operations, and creating policies for the world's biggest mobile app market. At Ripple, Ryan served as the head of developer relations and platform partnerships. Through his role, he engaged with numerous financial institutions and fintech entrepreneurs building the payment systems of the future. Last summer, he worked with Catalyst to develop an accelerator program focused on building financial services for underserved populations in India. He is currently a research fellow for the Global Taiwan Institute, undertaking a historical study on the relationship between Taiwan's democratic and economic development. Next up, we have Lauren Lance, the CTO. Lauren is a blockchain entrepreneur, developer, and educator who has built multiple financial startups that have won awards with PayPal and Swift. She has been programming for 20 plus years. Lauren is an O'Reilly blockchain expert, produced educational videos on blockchain, and a technical reviewer for Mastering Bitcoin book. Lauren has launched several fintech startups, including Remnants, eWallets, POS, Forex, crypto trading, and ICO investing. Lauren has been educating corporations around the world on blockchain, including German bank at TEDx Hamburg. And finally, Will Chen, their CIO. Will has over 18 years of professional experience in financial investment banking, spanning from M&A to structuring and trading, distressed special situations, derivative sales, and trading in private equities. Will has worked at Rothschild, Enron in the U.S., then Merrill Lynch in Asia, KGI Asia, and most recently as Director of Equities Derivatives at BNP in Hong Kong. As you can see, that's a heck of a team right there. They have a lot of experience, and having an understanding of that team really helped me understand what they were trying to do. Or even while I was reading the white paper, it actually gave me confidence in knowing that they can actually do what they say they're going to do. And normally, I read the team last and hope that the team supports the white paper. Having done a preview of looking at the team first, then the white paper, I think I'm going to do that from now on. So with that lineup out of the way, let's dive into Formosa. And as always, I'm going to dive right into the white paper. Now keep in mind that what I'm highlighting is a fraction of what is actually in the white paper. If you are interested in this company, please check it out. The link will be in the show notes. So what is the problem Formosa is solving? Well, it's corporate banking. Investments into the digital assets and blockchain space have steadily increased over the last 5 years, but banks remain largely unwilling to provide services to businesses associated with this technology. Digital asset exchanges, crypto hedge funds, and startups that have raised investment rounds through initial coin offerings all struggle to open and maintain bank accounts. Even successful individual investors often can't easily move funds from exchanges into their bank accounts, resulting in dangerous concentrations of capital at exchanges that are constantly targeted by hackers. I never actually thought about this problem before reading it here in the white paper. What they are saying is that there are numerous blockchain companies, say they raise money via an ICO, they have millions of dollars, yet they cannot open up a bank account in a traditional financial institution in order to operate and pay for quote-unquote real-world things such as salaries and lawyers and the electric bill at their office, etc. I guess I always thought that everyone in this space operated in cryptocurrency. I'm inclined to think that if you want to operate in the blockchain space, then you and your employees should have an expectation to only be paid in crypto. If you need a lawyer, accountant, web designer, pay them in crypto. I work part-time in the crypto space, so I get paid in crypto. It's my responsibility as an employee in crypto to do as I see fit. That's my opinion. Anyways, I digressed again. So for your average crypto investor, the status quo is acceptable, although often inconvenient. Depending on the availability of exchange services with a particular country, investors are able to use a debit credit card or bank wire to get cash on an exchange to start trading, then withdraw the funds back to a local account after making trades. Unfortunately for the crypto business, the availability to seamlessly move funds between blockchain and financial systems is often not readily available to enterprises providing retail access through fiat to the very same crypto markets. Additionally, corporate banking entails a different set of services than its retail counterpart. Immediate access to loans and other credit products to ensure working capital needs are met is a critical operating requirement for companies with large amounts of digital assets to be able to borrow cash against their holdings without liquidating their positions is also a major underaddressed issue. The need for cash is typically driven by payment obligations. For example, companies must, as I said earlier, pay for employees, lawyers, accountants, and other service providers through traditional payment systems. Where companies raising capital through traditional means such as debt or equity can immediately focus on leveraging assets to scale their business, startups that have raised funds via ICO or otherwise are faced with a thicket of operational, regulatory, and legal hurdles that must be handled. Unsurprisingly, banks are often unwilling to engage with such customers. By building a financial services institution focused exclusively on these kinds of customers, Formosa Financial seeks to solve these exact problems. With unprecedented levels of volatility and occasional liquidity crunches, they hope to provide companies holding large digital asset reserves practical solutions to pay off their debts in a cost-effective or timely fashion. To help them mitigate this, Formosa Financial aims to become one of the first to offer credit lines based on deposited crypto assets. Formosa Financial will develop and operate services across two distinct phases. Phase one, to the extent permitted under applicable laws, will aim to act as a trusted asset custodian and broker that provides a basic suite of liquidity and cash management services. Phase 2's focus is on leveraging the existing deposit base accumulated in Phase 1 to offer full-fledged financial services such as working capital credit lines. Formosa Financial intends to implement a management structure with a board of directors at the top and business verticals reporting to the chief executive officer. Once the board of directors and chief executive and chief department heads are established, Formosa Financial will focus on delivering solutions for customers in three critical areas: security, treasury management, and payment services. Future solutions may include token backed by a basket of assets such as various fiats and cryptocurrencies. So with security, when handling large sums of money, security will always be paramount concern. For companies with massive digital asset holdings, there are numerous technical and operational questions that must be addressed in order to put a reliable security framework in place for accessing wallets. Loss of private keys is certainly the most common case of failed security protocols. Even when keys are securely held, devices storing them are susceptible to man-in-the-middle attacks. Even when keys are securely held, devices storing them are susceptible to attacks. These risks can potentially be mitigated by handing your private keys over to a trusted third party that has undergone extensive security audits. Of course, this design decision comes with inherent risks, as well as evidenced by numerous exchange hacks that have been punished for faulty cold storage procedures. Formosa Financial intends to offer a highly secure custodial service that provides easy access to funds while maintaining operationally sound methods for transactions between internal hot and cold and external exchange wallets. Moving on to treasury management. Liquidating large crypto positions typically requires a series of smaller transactions in order to assure best price execution. This can be done by slowly selling out of a position on a single exchange or structuring simultaneous transactions across multiple exchanges. Regardless of the method chosen, all exchanges are subject to liquidity constraints dependent on current trading volume. This is particularly problematic when dealing with thinly traded assets that may only be listed on smaller, unreliable exchanges. Formosa Financial's treasury management service strives to facilitate integrations to over 95 exchanges to quickly and efficiently find the best venue for buying and selling any asset. To mitigate the global pace of cash withdrawals by international wire, Formosa Financial will be able to forward cash into customers' account for immediate access. Alongside treasury management is their risk management service. Managing risk of volatility. How can you make sure $10 million in crypto today will be worth $10 million next year? Currently, most blockchain innovators don't have the finance background or access to the right tools to manage their risk properly. Formosa Financial solution is to create a customized portfolio plan of how the blockchain innovator can manage their funds at low risks. And the last critical solution, but certainly not least, is Formosa's payment services solution. While the growth in market cap and number of addresses in the blockchain space demonstrates a steep adoption curve, we are still many decades away from seeing mass distribution and use of these systems for daily transactions. As such, companies handling crypto still require access to traditional payment networks, such as those offered by correspondent banking relationships. In Phase 1, customers may opt to have their funds withdrawn from the bank by receiving a digital version of their fiat money issued on a blockchain so that it can be sent globally without the interference of third-party intermediaries. To navigate the reality that many other businesses will not be willing to accept digital fiat assets, Phase 2 will see Formosa Financial set up correspondent banking relationships to process inbound and outbound international payments in supported currencies. Formosa Financial will be issuing their own token, the FMF token. Business customers seeking to access the financial services described must use FMF, an ERC-20 utility token that will be made available through a private placement. Initially, 2 billion FMF tokens will be issued to pre-sale holders who are the earliest customers of Formosa Financial. FMF tokens will act as a utility token that allows customers to access tiered services on the Formosa Financial platform. Customers can use FMF tokens through Proof of Membership, POM, a staking mechanism that enables customers to access services offered by the bank. The purpose of the FMF token is to limit the risks of Formosa Financial by ensuring that customers holding FMF tokens are companies intending to use the services and are committed to utilizing their tokens as such. This model encourages customers to hold on to their tokens as the demand for the services will subsequently drive demand for additional FMF. Formosa Financial may adjust the pricing of various services from time to time with the intention so that customers pay a fixed price on a US dollar denomination basis. The company is looking to raise roughly $8 million soft cap and $16 million hard cap payable in ETH. The tokens will be distributed as follows. 30% will be sold in private sale, 10% legal licensing and compliance, 15% goes into the ecosystem, 15% goes into the platform development, and usage of these reserves are to be determined by the Formosa team. The team will receive 25%, which will be locked up for 24 months, and 5% goes to the advisors. This 5% will be locked up for 6 months, to which 50% will be released and 25% unlocked each month thereafter. See their website for the roadmap. So with all that said, here are my 2 cents. I can see where this could be a sought-after company in this current crypto climate. After all, it makes sense that blockchain companies might actually need immediate token to fiat conversions to operate in, quote, the real world. But I have a ton of questions. For example, how do the founders and owners see the future? I mean, how long do they think they will survive as a company? Isn't this company's existence coming at a need in the space in terms of where the space is in its growth? What happens when companies start paying their employees in crypto? What happens to this company when there is so much money in the market that liquidity is not an issue anymore? What happens when stablecoins take off and, quote, risk management is no longer an issue or a need to hedge against the current market volatility? Right now, yes, private key management and storage is an issue. What happens when it's not a pain in the ass anymore? If I'm a speculative investor, I can see putting some ETH into their coffers and hope that they can do what they say they can do. I cannot in any way see myself personally using the services, however. If they do build it, I think it makes some money in the short term due to its current use case solutions. Let's call the short term 5 to 10 years. Obviously, they are doing something right to have convinced banks already to get on board with them. They have a very smart, experienced team, a legit team behind them. I think any company that can educate existing institutional financial systems and make them more comfortable with blockchain and cryptocurrencies is a big win for everybody. No doubt.
I think I stole this from Bob Dylan, but maybe I stole this from Woody Guthrie. Freedom for me is waking up in the morning and going to sleep at night, and in between doing exactly what I want to do. What's the secret to happiness? The secret to happiness is finding something you love and then doing that for the rest of your life.
Yo, everyone. Thanks again for listening. If you enjoyed the show, then check out the links on the show notes. And don't forget to subscribe to ICO 101 Podcast by going to the Crypto 101 Podcast feed that is found on iTunes, SoundCloud, and CastBox, and leave a positive review. Please follow me on Twitter @SupAaronPaul. And don't forget to follow the podcast on Twitter as well @ICO 101 Podcast. Until next time, peace.